Well, please do turn to the passage that we read in John chapter 12. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto myself. It is accurate to say that in the whole of human history, no one has attracted men and women quite like the uplifted Christ. What is it that attracts people? What kind of people attract other people to come to them and to think about what they're saying and to follow them? Well, we could spend quite a long time thinking through history and the figures of history, good, bad and ugly, literally, who have succeeded in attracting people, sometimes for good, sometimes for ill. Of course, we live in an age of sport, and we would all have different opinions this morning as to, if you like, the sporting heroes or the sporting people, the sporting events that attract people or ought to attract people. And of course, we also live in the age of the celebrity and all the different people who can, again, for good or for ill, attract a following. But it is still the case, and I want you to think about this and note this, that even in comparison to all of these different people and events, the Lord Jesus Christ continues to have an extraordinary appeal to many, many people throughout our world. And you may say to me, well, there aren't just so many in our own nation who are drawn to Jesus today, and I certainly take that point. Having said that, there are maybe more than you might imagine. The context here in John chapter 12 is Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry. And just to set the context, if you like, verse 12, we're told that there were Greeks who came and they wanted to see Jesus. Jesus speaks to them. Philip and Andrew are involved in bringing Jesus to these people. And Jesus speaks to them about how they are has come. He's speaking literally about his death when he speaks about they are. And we know that from the text. In verses 31 and 32, he speaks, and you can let me read them to you again. Verse 31, now is the time for judgment on this world. So he speaks about the world being judged. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. He speaks about something going to happen that's going to defeat Satan. He says, but I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. So he speaks not only about the world being judged and Satan being defeated, something's going to happen. He speaks about how he is going to be lifted up and how as a result of that, people are going to be drawn to him. Now, I suspect that many of the people around him didn't really understand exactly what he was speaking about, but we understand it. And so today, as we think of this text, really, you might say this text is about the magnetism of Jesus Christ. 3 points that I want to basically make. I want, first of all, to say something about the person of Christ. Jesus says, and I. You know, there is so much contained within those couple of words. The Greeks had come trying to find Jesus. They had come to see a real person. They had come to see a real man. a real flesh and blood person. Sir, we would see Jesus. We've heard about Jesus. Where is he? We want to see this man. We've heard so much about him. And they are able to meet the real Jesus. And Jesus says, and I, the real Jesus, the real flesh and blood Jesus, not the Jesus of someone's imagination. Sometimes, thankfully not too often, as a pastor, I might hear people say, well, I like to think of God like this. I like to think of Jesus like this. And I say, hopefully respectfully, well, actually, your opinion and my opinion of Jesus is really irrelevant. The important thing and the important way that you ought to be thinking about Jesus is as he is revealed to us in the scriptures. So it's not the Jesus of someone's imagination or fancy that we're talking about here. It's not the Jesus of fiction or the Jesus of myth. Not the Jesus as you like to think about him, but the real Jesus, the real person, the real flesh-blood person who stepped into space-time history, who literally met these Greek people on a certain day in human history. We could elaborate that. We could go all sorts of directions with that. The real Jesus who preached a real sermon on the Mount. The real Jesus who changed real water into real wine, who healed a real leper suffering from real leprosy, who raised a real Lazarus, who really was dead and buried in the tomb, and a real Jesus who would soon be lifted on a real cross to die a real death, to rescue real sinners and give them real salvation. As a pastor, I spend a reasonable amount of time as I visit people trying to get people to engage with the real Jesus. The real Jesus, not the Jesus for an hour on Sunday morning or the Jesus as I like to imagine him, but the real Lord Jesus, who calls each and every person in the kingdom of Mourne, as with everywhere, to come and to really put their trust and faith in him and to repent of their sins and to believe. Let me ask you this morning, are you engaging with the real Jesus? Or is the Jesus that you think about just something up there floating about? It's not real at all. It's just a nice idea. It's just a religious feeling that gives you a nice fuzzy feeling on a Sunday morning for an hour. Folks, you really need to engage with the real living Christ, the person of Christ, and I. And Jesus goes on here to come to the substance of what he's saying. He speaks about his work, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth. You see there in verse 33, he spells it out. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. If I be lifted up. Jesus, that phrase is used elsewhere in the Gospel of John. For example, in chapter 3 and verse 14, remember how it says there, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. This brings us right to the very heart of the gospel message. What is it that has the real drawing power, folks? The real drawing power is in presenting Jesus, who was lifted on a cross on high to die a real death and a cruel death and an atoning death for people like you and for me. It is the presentation of Christ crucified that stands at the heart of the gospel story. And sometimes it is at this point that some, certainly not all, some churches can lose their way. It can be one explanation as to why some churches grow and others do not. The famous Christian Reuben A. Torrey once said, "Preach any Christ but a crucified Christ, and you will not draw men for very long." And that's absolutely true. And we do, by God's grace, seek to preach Christ crucified. There is no other message to preach. And Jesus says here, "If I be lifted up," it was the famous Scottish preacher of a century ago, James S. Stewart, who said famously these words, "There is no magnetism like preaching Christ. Show men Calvary towering o'er the wrecks of time, and you will not preach in vain. The greatest service," said Stewart, "you can ever do for men and women is to thrust the cross before their very eyes and to call upon them to run to the cross and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." And that is absolutely true. And that is what we seek to do. And again, as a preacher and a pastor and a minister, I say to you today, if you are not yet converted, you need to come to the cross. You need to see Jesus dying on the cross for you. Your good works are not sufficient. Your church going is not going to get you into heaven. Why on earth did Jesus have to die if all we have to do is appear at church for a few Sundays? Jesus came to take our sin, to take the punishment for that sin. And we need to come and entrust ourselves to him. "If I be lifted up." And it goes on here to speak not only about the person and the work, but the power. Because the text says this, "But I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." All types of men. It is not speaking here of a universalism in that all men and women are saved, but all types of men and women and young people are saved from every color and creed and background. So what is the promise to draw? So let me just say a couple of things here about this. As we think of the drawing power, people need to be drawn. Why do people need to be drawn? It's because they're far away. It's because, as the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, "You were separate from Christ. You were excluded from the citizenship of Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise. You were without hope and without God in the world." That's why we need to be drawn, because we are far away. We are far away from God. People not only need to be drawn, but people will not come in and of themselves. There is something within human nature that wants to do its own thing. We need the grace of God. We need the power of God to draw us. And that is why we pray. And can I also say that people are to be drawn and not driven? Let me ask you a question. What is the best way to see people influenced and won for Jesus? It is that they would be drawn to Jesus. "And I, if I am lifted up, will draw all men to myself." We cannot drive people into the kingdom of God. We cannot drive people like some religious philosophies obviously believe that you try and drive people to adhere to what they stand for at the point of a gun or the point of a sword. Nor ought we to try and coerce and frighten people into the kingdom. Having said that, there certainly are things that people should be fearful about. The scriptures say it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. People don't believe that, sadly, any longer. God, in their imagination, is a kind of grandfather figure who wouldn't say boo to a goose. But God is not like that. God is the God before whom the very angels fall on their faces and prostrate themselves. Such is his majesty and his awesome holiness and splendor. But we've lost that in our generation. People should think about those things. It is a fearful thing to face death without Jesus. It is a fearful thing to face and enter eternity without Christ. Those are fearful things. And having just said that we ought not to frighten people into the kingdom, and I absolutely believe that, but having said that, we ought to also say to people, folks, there are things that you should be frightened about. Run to Jesus and embrace him. But oh, the winsome drawing power of Jesus. A lovely little verse in Hosea chapter 11 and verse 4 that says this: I led them with cords of human kindness and with ties of love. God says, I led them with human kindness. And you know, when Jesus was in the world, the people were drawn to him. There was a magnetism in Jesus. There was something profoundly drawing. And you say to me, well, of course there was. He was the Son of God. And if you and I wish to, on this Palm Sunday, let me focus in on this for a moment. If you and I wish to see people drawn to Jesus, we must seek to draw them through our gracious, Christ-like lives and words. Now, here's the question. This is quite a profound question, a question for you to think about. Are people being drawn today to Jesus in our country? Are people coming to Jesus in our country? Let's take our province for a moment. Are there lots and lots of people coming to know Jesus? Well, obviously, I can't answer that question. At this moment in time, I don't hear of people flocking to Jesus. And certainly here in Kilkeel, on a typical Sunday, the unbelieving population are not flocking into our churches. And I say to myself, well, why is that? And there is all sorts of issues here, aren't there? Are we preaching Christ? Well, by the grace of God, we are certainly endeavoring to preach Christ and to lift up Christ and to say, come to Jesus. Are we praying? Well, yes, there are a small band of people who are praying. More ought to be praying, but there are a band of people who are praying. Are we who profess to be Christians living genuine Christian lives through the week so that other people see that what we claim on a Sunday is what we live on a Monday through Saturday? Are we commending the Lord Jesus? Or behind the religious veneer, are we just actually like the world, in our speech, in our attitudes, in our attitudes to our neighbors, in our attitudes to our enemies, in our attitudes to the other. Are we like the world or are we like Jesus? Very searching questions. So maybe it is actually no big surprise that our churches are not growing. And that a gap is rising between professing Christianity and a disinterested and yet searching world. Folks, the passion of my heart at this point as a pastor is, and you've heard me say this on many, many occasions before, is that it is actually of no use whatsoever to come and to sit in church on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening for an hour and then to go out and actually to live any old way, because the world sees through that straight away. And if we ape and copy the attitudes of the world and the way that they live, the way that they speak, the way that they behave, the world will say these Christians are no real different from anyone else. Why on earth should I bother going to church? Dale Moody once famously said, "Whitewashing the pump won't make the water pure." And C.S. Lewis famously once said, "Of all bad men, religious bad men are the worst." Oh, wow, that hurt. Vance Havner, if any of you know that name, a famous preacher from the States who wrote a lovely little book once, and maybe as a preacher and a pastor, he maybe wrestled with the same things that many pastors and ministers wrestle with. He wrote a little book once which was entitled, "Why Not Just Be Christians?" It was an appeal to the people, be what you claim to be. Folks, I am profoundly of the belief that if, and I know we're fallible, sinful people, and we make a muck of things at times, including your minister, we all are very fallible. But let's, by the grace of God, go out this week, this holy week, and be what we claim to be. And when the devil tempts us to just follow the world, let's say, get behind me, Satan. I'm actually a follower of Jesus. At least I'm claiming to be. And by the grace of God, I want to be. Do you remember years ago, the series that we did in James, if you want the world to heed, put your creed into your deed. So folks, let me finish with this. I believe on this Palm Sunday morning, we need to be like Jesus on that first Palm Sunday. Remember this, the world wanted Jesus to come riding on a war horse to sweep to the side the Roman opponents. But here's the profound thing. He came not on a war horse, but sitting on a donkey. I wonder if you ever thought about this. Probably to some people, that looked really silly. And yet it was through that action that Jesus stepped into the way of the cross, because it is the way of the cross, remember, that leads home. It is the way of going down that leads to the way that goes up. And this is a profound challenge to every time that you and I are tempted to feel smug or superior or have a higher attitude or be proud or whatever. All of those attitudes are profoundly wrong. Do you remember, what was the first sin in the universe? The first sin in the universe was pride. The road we walk is the way of the cross. So folks, Yes, this does search us. It does search us. And as a preacher, I'm not here to spoil your dinner at all. But it is part of my duty and responsibility to challenge all of us from the Word of God. And on this Palm Sunday, as we see Jesus coming, riding on a donkey, the way up is down. And the way forward for us as individuals and the way forward for churches is always the way of the cross, where we die to ourselves and what we want. I remember, and I shared this with the people who were praying recently, and I finished with this. Remember somebody saying, a very fine Christian leader, saying to a group of churches and church leaders who were thinking about how they reach out with the gospel in a difficult age, he said, folks, you have two choices. You die, or you die. You die to yourself. You die to what you want. You die to whatever. Or you die. There's something profoundly true there, folks. And I know it challenges us and we struggle a wee bit with this. But when Jesus came into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, he was literally dying. He was the Son of God, sitting on a donkey. But he was beginning to show the way of the cross. And here's the encouraging note, folks. The way of the cross leads home. And when we lift Jesus, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. So let us lift him high. And as we lift him high, we will go down, but he will go up. Let us pray. Father, there is much here, maybe too much for us to take in. But Lord, I pray that you would take what is truly of yourself, truly of God, truly of the Spirit, truly of the Word, and apply it to our hearts, and grant that we might indeed die to ourselves and walk the way of the cross, because the way of the cross leads home. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.